Vessels, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, August 7th, 1903. Mr. Vessels, my dear brother, thank you for your letter. I've had so much writing to do to meet the issues arising in various places that till now I have not been able to write to you. I have received some very interesting letters from Australia. I shall send you copies of them, and hope that you will enjoy reading them as much as I did. I was very glad to hear that your wife has a little daughter. I should very much like to visit Sister Vessels, but I have much writing to do, and I feel that my place is at home with my workers. I am enjoying much of the blessing of the Lord. Lately, I have been speaking often of the sanitarium. The attendance is excellent. Every Sabbath, some of the patients are present. My faith and love and hope strengthen every time I stand before the people. I know that the Lord helps and blesses me. As I speak, He instructs me, giving me new views of truth. I know and am assured that I am receiving grace for grace, and that as I feed others with the bread of life, I myself am fed. I never stand before the people without receiving, as I speak, new and fresh ideas. Souls seem to me very, very precious, and I try my best to show them the value of the truth. God spared not His own Son, but freely delivered Him up for us all, and He cannot do otherwise than give all heaven with Christ. He freely bestows on His workers the facilities of heaven. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. How does Christ look upon the members of His church on this earth? They are His, bought with a price. He has ascended to heaven to stand before the Father as their advocate, to represent every one who receives Him. Little children, He said to the disciples just before He left them, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. John 13, verse 33 to 35. Let every church member study these words, and then ask himself if he is practicing them. Are we revealing that love for one another, which shows the world that God did indeed send His Son to save sinners? Why did Christ say, a new commandment I give unto you, verse 34? Because in the suffering and death just before Him, the disciples were to see how much He loved them, and how much He expected them to love one another. Shall we not appreciate what Christ has done for us? Shall we not show the world that we love one another? Shall we not reveal in our lives the meaning of truth and faith and righteousness? Then many will be converted because of the wonderful working of God upon human hearts. Selfishness will die, and Christ-likeness will take possession of human beings. Christ came to this world to stand at the head of human beings, to pass over the ground where Adam stumbled and fell. After His baptism, He was led into the wilderness to be tempted. Here, for 40 days, He fasted and prayed. Here, the enemy came to Him with strong temptations, hoping that He could overcome him. He was confident that He could gain the victory over Christ, who, because of His long fast, was weak and emaciated. But not in a single point did He gain an advantage over the Redeemer. Christ resisted every temptation, and Satan left the field a defeated foe. Temptations come to us, but we need not be overcome, for Christ has conquered in our behalf. In His strength, we can successfully resist every assault of the enemy. Christ was crucified, but He rose from the grave, and over the rent sepulchre of Joseph proclaimed, "I am the resurrection and the life." John 11, verse 25. For 40 days after His resurrection, He remained with His disciples. Just before He left them, to return to His Father as their mediator and intercessor, He said to them, "All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20.
"Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." Acts 1, verse 8 to 11. Christ has tasted death for every man. All who will may eat of the living bread that came down from heaven. Oh, my brother, I pray that you may become so closely united to Christ that you will be changed into His image. I think much of you and of the other members of your family. If it were not for my age and my infirmities, I should be much pleased to pay you a visit. I pray that every member of the Wessels family may become a child of God. Jesus has bought them all with His blood. He is waiting to receive them to Himself. He is longing to see them living in this world lives that will gain for them admittance into the courts above as members of the royal family. I pray that they may all be led to see the necessity of preparing for the future immortal life. We cannot afford to live as if Christ had not given His life to save us from eternal death. We cannot afford to have no personal experience in the things of God. Will you not ask Henry's wife, for me, to give up her life of foolishness and worldliness? Should Christ come now and find her as she is, self-indulgent and indifferent to eternal interests, how could she hope to be saved? Henry and his wife have both been presented before me. Both are accounted as worldlings. Should Christ come and find them as they are, He could not give them a place among the redeemed. He cannot save those who, having had the light, turn from it to live a worldly, pleasure-loving, sinful life. All such must be numbered with the transgressors. Will it pay? I ask. Will it pay? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Mark 8, verse 36. May the Lord strengthen and bless and teach you, my brother. It is in your power to exert an influence for good over your brothers and sisters. You may, while in Africa, obtain a precious experience in the knowledge of God and of Christ. Set your brothers and sisters a true example. Remember that their souls cost the life of Christ. Will you not try to help them to gain eternal life? We are living in the close of this earth's history, and to us comes the message. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for these things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Seeing that ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse 10 to 14, 17, 18.